Like to get in the Word with you guys tonight a little bit from the Romans, Romans chapter 7. And this is an experience that we're going to read about tonight with the Apostle Paul that I've seen many times through the years in our church and I've experienced myself. Do you ever feel like you're never going to get better? You ever feel like, wow, you want to do something good, but you just can't find it in yourself to do anything good? And this kind of feeling is normal for Christian living from time to time. And the Apostle Paul, actually being the aged Apostle Paul, experienced this. And I love the way he puts it in words. These are some of the most liberating scriptures in my whole Christian walk. And I love to minister to them, to people that are poor in spirit and just worried about their own spirituality because they can't just find in themselves to do what they ought to do. So let's read about this in Romans chapter 7 and then see the answer to actually moving out of this depression type place. There in Romans 7:7, he's talking about the law and the law of God given from the Old Testament and how he just struggled to keep it and just couldn't find himself able to do it. And so it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet, which is to lust after your neighbor's possessions. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all manner of concupiscence. Now that's just a big word to mean a covetous desire. The desires that are in our hearts many times are just bad desires. And we fight against these things and we get depressed over them sometimes. And he's just saying here that through the law of God, just worked in me all manner of covetous thinkings. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, before you know the law of don't do this and don't do that. Hey, you feel alive. But the command came and sin revived and I died. Oh man, I'm going, I did all these things wrong? And he just died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Oh, what a depressing thought. The very commandment that is to lead unto life, the Ten Commandments, he found in himself death in thinking about these things. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, verse 11, deceived me, and by it slew me. It just slew me. Therefore, the law is holy. Yes, it is. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. What's wrong is us. We just have this sin nature inside of us and this bend to do things wrong. And as he then was examining the holy law, that is just and good, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For if we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal or worldly, I am sold under sin. Oh, we look at that perfect law of God, the perfect law of liberty, and we go, it is so perfect, Lord. And you are perfect, Lord. But me? I'm not measuring up. I'm just not measuring up. And this is depressing to me, God. It's what Paul's saying. I am carnal or worldly. I am sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. He thinks in himself, I don't want to do this. But he finds himself doing it. And what I would, I do, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. You know, this just reminded me so much of so many times and testimonies when the people that are shooting up the needles or really just addicted to the booze, just go, I hate this. I had a couple come in and see me once that were on heroin, and they so wanted to get with the Lord. And they came in and sat down on the couch across from me in the office, and they said, I hate that stuff. I hate it. But you could almost feel and tell they were addicted and they were going to be going back to it. And it's just the most horrible feeling and most depressing place to be. And in our Christian walk, we get there for many different reasons and many different seasons. We find ourselves right there where the Apostle Paul is talking about here. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. The law is good. I'm bad. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. This is a revelation that God has to bring to every one of us. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Zero, zip. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And so I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to be good. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I just don't find out how to do it. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, and that's the different parts of my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Wow. And this is your apostle? And this is how bad he is? You know, where does that leave you or I? Man, he's just telling the truth. Straight up. This is straight up the truth. And straight up where God has to bring us, each one of us, in our lives. He that is forgiven much, loves much. And that is what Jesus said. He that is forgiven much, loves much. And Paul had a lot to bring here, didn't he? As he came to a revelation and a realization of how wicked he was and had no power over sin at all without Jesus. And how we fall in love with Jesus Christ when his love breaks through in our lives and we begin to see deliverances and we begin to see that he can take us to places we could never, ever go ourselves. Never get there. If we're broken on the rock won't fall on us later and grind us to pieces, the Bible says. We just need to break before the Lord. I had a brother in my office today, says, you know, I'm breaking, the Lord is breaking me. And I said, oh, brother, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. As he was going through the Apostle Paul process. Now, with this revelation of seeing that, and let's look back to verse 18, it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. This body of death. Now, the Romans had a practice that they did to punish murderers. If you would kill somebody, they would take the body of the dead man and strap it to the body of the man that killed him. And that body would begin to decay. and the germs and the bacteria and the disease of that decaying body would begin to affect the live body of the murderer. And this is the idea that really we can see here, that, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Because strapped to us and underneath our head is a body of death without Jesus. It's a body that cannot live in the right way and will decay and will become rancid and will absolutely bring people straight to perdition or destruction forever and ever. And this is the situation we're looking at. And the Apostle Paul is just crying out to God with all of his heart, O wretched, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? And you know, I know we know the answer already, don't we? It's only Jesus. Because he died on that cross a gruesome, horrible death to pay for your sin. It's sin in me that brings about this body of death. He said it several times through the scriptures we read. It is no longer I, but sin which dwells within me. And Jesus paid the price for my sin. And with him, he's the only one who can deliver me from this body of death. Jesus. Jesus is the one. And so we read in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, there is so much in verse 25. Number one, verse 25 is the beginning of Paul getting his mind off himself and onto the Savior as he thanks God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking, beginning now to look to Jesus. And this is the answer for the struggling person that is so introspective and observing the sin in their own lives that they can be totally swallowed up in it. Do you know how many times the Apostle Paul said I in the verses I just read to you? 30 times. You count them. 30 times he says I. His concentration was upon himself. And if you begin to look to yourself for self-help, or if you begin to look to yourself to get better, or you begin to look to yourself that you can make that New Year's resolution and actually keep it, you're going to have so much defeat that you'll need a ladder to get to a snake's belly. It's as simple as that. And, you know, Dr. McGee put it very graphically. He said, you know what, trying to cover up the flesh is like trying to put manure or perfume on a manure pile. And McGee was always straightforward with his sayings. But you know, it is just the truth of it. So the idea, brothers and sisters, is this. You need to get over your eye problem and put yourself in the hands of Jesus. Because the victory begins to come right here in verse 25 of chapter 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. This is condemnation that light has come into the world, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. But with Jesus, There is no condemnation to them which who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak, how? Through being a bad law? No, it was weak through the flesh, through me. It was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus became sin on the cross. And now I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And He condemned that sin in the flesh by paying for it, dying for it. And my identification with Him is in baptism. I go into the watery grave. I leave my sins in the water, and I come up to walk in resurrected living, to walk in newness of life. And it is awesome. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, with that, looking at these scriptures, I want to say this, that beginning in verse 25 of the last verse in chapter 7, we have the different persons of the Trinity mentioned 10 times in 5 verses. And this is where your victory is. This is what you do when you become poor in spirit, poverty stricken in spirit. Blessed are those that are poverty stricken in spirit. When you begin to realize with the Apostle Paul that you can't do one thing on your own, and you begin to look to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. 10 times, Jesus Christ, the Spirit, God, are mentioned in these 5 verses. And that focus changes from I to Him. And that is the victory, because Romans chapter 8 is one of the most glorious, blessed victory chapters in the entire Bible. But as you look through Romans 8, and I can give you that for homework, because that's what we'll have next week, is Romans chapter 8. You just look how many times God, Jesus, or the Spirit of God, the persons of the Trinity, of the power of the living God, are mentioned in chapter 8. We have 10 times in the first 4 verses, plus 1 verse at the end of chapter 7. 10 times. I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God. There's God again. And we go on. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus and walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God the Father, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit, the Son, Jesus Christ, the Father. That's who you think about. That's who you look to. And as you do that, you begin to walk in such victory that you won't even believe it. And it's so fun to just receive it. You walk with Jesus Christ every step of the way. Father, forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me to be filled with your Spirit this day and walk in power from a position of victory because of what Jesus did for me. It's as simple as that. Now, I found something as I was studying this for this sermon tonight that was so good. Let's look at verse 25, the second part. It says, "So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, the mind in the Jewish mind is equivalent to the heart. And that is so biblical, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the speaking of the mouth comes from the brain that says it's time to speak, and so you speak. You move your lips and the words come out. And so the Jewish people equate the mind, your mind, with your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you know what? Every one of us need a new heart. And this is just so much the ministry of the prophet Jeremiah for us. And I'm so excited. We're starting the book of Jeremiah on Sunday morning in a couple of weeks now. And it's all about the heart. We're going to see that the book of Jeremiah is all about the heart, the inward being of a person. The first thing I'd like to say about the heart is that the heart is the inward person. And 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." So as God is looking at the Apostle Paul, and in his mind he's serving the law of God, in his heart he is serving the law of God. That is what God looks for. This is the difference between King Saul and King David. King David sinned murder and adultery. King Saul sinned disobedience. But King Saul was rejected, and David was called a man after God's own heart, because God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. And David was a man of repentance and a man of, "Lord God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me." And God is so in favor of forgiveness. As Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And so the mind, or the heart, is where God looks. And so Paul has a sign of victory here when he says, "I thank God," in verse 25, "through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, or the heart, I myself serve the law of God. And this other thing that I'm trying to deal with, Jesus takes care of that." As we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As he held the cup at the Last Supper, he said, "This is the cup of the new agreement between you and me. This is the cup in my blood, which is given for the forgiveness of many sins, even all of our own." Our God is truly an awesome loving God. So I want to take you to the book of Jeremiah for three verses. Just, we have 5 minutes here. Let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And we'll begin to sense in the book of Jeremiah that it is about this inward experience that God is interested in. He wants a circumcision, not of the outward flesh, but of the heart. The circumcision of the heart that we had earlier in the book of Romans. And so we go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And it says this: "The heart is deceitful." It's deceitful. It'll trick you above all things, "and desperately wicked. Who can even know it?" We can rationalize anything. That's where our hearts are. God needs to change that. And God does change that as we look to Jesus. Jeremiah 24:7. Let's just go on to another verse in Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me. God can do this. God can do heart surgery on you and I. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Yes, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, but as God touches your life, God says here that He will give us a heart to know Him, and that He will bring about the return of me to Himself with a whole heart. God, I just want to be like you, man. I want to be a more righteous man. I want to follow you if I can. And that is birthed in you when you are born again. And that's what makes you new. And that's what makes you different. And that's who you are when you come up out of the baptismal waters in a very spiritual sense. You are ordained to walk in newness of life. All the old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become brand new because you have a new heart. And you begin to serve God with your mind and your heart, or together, like the Jewish people would say, your heart and mind. His law and His way, following Him in the Spirit. And this is awesome. Well, let's go to Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 is so familiar and wonderful for us, but as I want to show you the verses right after that also, because it does tell us some more things about the heart. It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. This is Jeremiah 29:11. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or I like a different translation, to give you a future and a hope. How many of us want a future, you know? Yeah, we want a future, don't we? We want a future and I want a hope. And that's what it says in another translation. And God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end or a future and a hope. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. And you shall seek me, and you shall find me, when you search for me with all your heart. The whole thing. The whole thing. And God, only God can do this. Only God can give you a heart that seeks after Him, that heavy, that hard, with passion. And it's beautiful. And this is what we have in the book of Jeremiah. I'm so excited about getting into this book. What a blessing. You know, the scripture actually just tells us, Galatians 3:24, the law of God was given as a schoolmaster for a reason, to bring us to Christ. And so the picture that we have in Romans 7 of I problem, 30 times I in 15 verses, is failure. And the picture of being Jesus-minded, God-minded, Spirit-minded, keeping our eyes on Him, is the picture of victory in Romans chapter 8. And this is such a truth, to know that God has simply given the law for a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so when we're brought to Christ and our eyes are on Christ and His finished work, there is great victory, because the schoolmaster, the law, has done its work to bring us to Christ. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I have a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's your gift. He's a gift from God the Father to you. And it's wonderful. That's why we have in Hebrews chapter 12. Why don't we just end with this? Hebrews chapter 12, the first four verses are so great. This brings it all to light as well. Hebrews chapter 12. And the first four verses. These are lessons in dealing with sin and dealing with depression over sin. Very simply, looking to Jesus. So it says, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, speaking of all those believers that were so great before us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And how do you do that? How do you lay aside the sin? How do you walk away from it? Where do you go? It says, looking unto Jesus. There it is. There it is again. Romans chapter 8. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. And this word consider in the Greek means to take a long, long meditative thinking process, focus on Jesus Christ. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied, unless you slip into that depression and get into the eye problems and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood striving against sin. Jesus sweat the great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He paid it all. Maybe I can give you this short testimony to kind of sum this up in my own life. Is I used to slug myself. I never hit my wife. I thank God I never hit her, but I hit myself. And I would kick things and so forth when I was totally frustrated with myself. And one day, Jesus said to me, how dare you hit yourself when I took such a beating for you that you would not have to hit yourself. Stop it. And God helped me. And God healed me from that practice. Because no one can ever take as many hits as he did. By his stripes, his beating, we are healed. And he wants us to simply believe it and receive it and look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, and consider him and his blood, lest we faint. We don't want to faint and grow weary in our own minds, but we want to walk in victory. Amen. And it's all about him. Our dear sister said that, I think, twice or three times tonight. It's all about him. So let's go ahead and pray again. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for these liberating things that you give us in the Word and these pictures you paint again and again from the Old Testament all the way through the New. And we just appreciate it so much, Father. And Lord, we pray your richest, wonderful blessings on each dear saint tonight, Lord. Father, give us new revelation. Give us a new picture and new victories every day. Thank you, Father. We love you so very much. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together. You know, if you'd like a prayer for anything tonight, we'd sure like to be available for that, to lay hands on you, just like we did for Judy, and pray for you. So may the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you step by step in this life, very close to him. Keep your hand on the hem of his garment and put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the sea, and you'll be okay. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.